And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Allen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Hey, welcome in the Grapple Talk. This is Jesse Von Rudin, and we don't have Nick Wagner in the studio this week. We got no one but AC Riley taking his spot.
I'm the only one that was available.
Only one, man. So what have you been up to, man? It's been a while since you've been on the show.
I know. It's been a while. I've been busy with work and everything, but I had the rare opportunity where I had the day off to record. Nick was busy. I got to just say for the record, if you're not listening to Grapple Talk the past couple weeks, you guys have been doing really good stuff. Like, I have to edit the shows, but I actually purposely edit it so I have to listen as little as possible because I like to listen to the full product, you know, later on.
When you're editing, you just don't listen to it?
I mean, I try not to. I mean, I listen.
So how do you do that then? Because you have to edit audio, so you have to listen to it.
Well, a lot of it, I get the inside tips from Nick of, like, where you guys fucked up or, like, what you need to, you know, focus on to kind of fix it and make sure it sounds well. But basically, I'll just listen for the intro, the outro, clip it, and then just kind of put it in together. And the main reason is because I don't want to be, you know, listening to the same thing over and over again. But no, you guys have been doing good stuff, so it's actually kind of nice that I don't do the show anymore and I just do the interviews because then I get to enjoy the podcast.
Well,
I think everybody else does too.
We got a pretty packed podcast this week. Nathan Gust in studio, and we're going to be on the phone here with Josh Callisto in just a second. You know, it was kind of weird. We're playing phone tag, right?
Yeah.
And we basically had to leave a voicemail for Callisto.
We did.
You know what the reason he gave us why you couldn't pick it up?
Why?
Starts with S, ends in hit.
Oh, he was taking a Ryan Brown.
He was taking a Ryan Brown. So we're going to call Josh Callisto right now.
Reached the voicemail box of 6-5-1-7-5-5-5-1-0-5.
Like Callisto.
No, it does not.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Callisto, this is Jesse Von Rudin and A.C. Riley calling you again. We're actually taping live right now, so if you actually want to answer your phone when we call you, that'd be awesome. Thanks, man. All right, catch you in a bit. So sometimes you'll have that, where you'll try to call people, and they won't answer their phones, even though you tell them, like, hey, man, like, I'm totally ready to rock and roll. So this actually gives us a moment to actually talk about what's going on in professional wrestling right now.
Absolutely, let's do it.
So one of the big things going on right now is ..
Yes.
Now, you're a big guy. Do you dive or do you fall?
I do not do any of that. I don't dive. If I fall, it's definitely on accident. Not on purpose. But no, it's interesting because what you're alluding to with the whole .. You know, that came from Randy Orton making a social media post about indie wrestlers.
Well, speaking of indie wrestlers, we're joined now by Josh Callisto with Showtime Pro Wrestling. What's up, man?
Hey, not too much. How about yourself?
Hey, not too bad. You know, we're playing a little phone tag here trying to set up this interview. You guys have been busy trying to set up the show coming up here on May 20th.
We had a pretty busy day on Monday. We had a radio in the morning, we were at TV 13 in Eau Claire later in the day, and then going around town doing the last round of flyers.
So what's the buzz been like so far with Showtime? You know, you're going around, you're posting the flyers over, you're talking to everybody. You guys did the huge thing at the venue, I think, what was it, last week, where you did you had the wrestlers, you know, there to promote the show. You know, what's it been like in Chippewa Falls talking about the show?
It's been a lot of fun, yeah. That event you were talking about, I think it was about 3 weeks ago. It was basketball game. What was that?
I was just saying that I thought it was a week ago. It turns out it was 3 weeks ago, so I apologize for, you know, getting my times confused.
Semantics.
Oh, no, that's fine. I could be wrong, too. It might have been 4 weeks ago, but sometime in the last
month.
Last 2 to 6 weeks, yeah. Special Olympics basketball game, and some of the local guys, Devlin Kane, JD Bandit, Aaron Sacrifice, Nathan Sensation, Dangerous Don Rue, former Wisconsin manager, showed up, and then Airwolf and Angel Cade also came with.
All right, so out of those guys, who's the better basketball player?
I actually didn't get to see anybody shooting hoops, but I think after some of us left, I think I heard some of the guys were still sticking around.
So talking about Showtime Championship Wrestling, this actually isn't your first time putting a show together, so you got a little bit of experience coming into it. So between running Fire Pro Wrestling, you know, when I got to start in the wrestling business to now, what made you decide to actually, you know, not only start a wrestling business of Showtime Championship Wrestling, but also make a benefit for the Special Olympics?
Firestorm Wrestling, I think I called it. That was just one show 10 years ago this summer, actually.
Wow.
That just wound up being something I was young and had a little extra money and wanted to do and get under my belt. And the last couple of years now, I've kind of just been thinking about booking shows and whatnot, but nothing I ever did while I was still actively wrestling other than that one-off show 10 years ago. But a couple months ago Red Lightning contacted me about taking part in it, and they had already, him and Lyndon Cartman had already came up with the plan to do it for Special Olympics, and they had the venue lined up and had me join in from there.
Oh, that's really cool. The Special Olympics do so much for so many people. What's it like to be able to give back to people who might not necessarily have it the easiest in life?
It's really an honor to be able to help out with that. And even just at that event, that basketball game recently, just the athletes themselves were just so excited that we were going to be giving them a hand and setting all our ticket sales towards them. And so feels really good to be able to help them out.
All right, cool. So we know it's going to be this Saturday. Tickets still available?
Tickets are available. We probably will have some available at the door right now. The pre-sales are at the venue, which is the Eagles Club in Chippewa Falls, also at Tailgate Sports Bar in west side of Eau Claire.
Is there anywhere else you can get them? Can you buy them online if you can't make it to any of those shops?
We don't have anything set up online yet, but I think some of the local guys may have their hands on a few spare tickets if anybody knows them personally, but other than that, it should be available at the door.
So let's talk a little bit about the match card here, Josh. I mean, if you can give us a preview, but I mean, looking at the poster itself, I mean, you got like, as you mentioned, you got Nathan Sensation, we'll be there. You got Airwolf, Cal Creed, Heavy Metal War. You got a good group of young and veteran talent that will be at the show. You're really, getting your best foot forward for the first ever show. Can you give us a little breakdown of what to expect this Saturday?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the guys that we wound up getting for the show. Obviously, we've got a good chunk of Eau Claire area guys. Like you said, Devlin Kane, mm-hmm. Nathan Sensation, Aaron Sacrifice. I believe Aaron Sacrifice hasn't wrestled in Eau Claire around the area, but he lives there. And I think the same goes for J.D. Bandit, who mainly wrestles over in MIW in the cities.
Okay.
But, we've got a good chunk of guys that are at the academy right now with Ken and Sean, Ken Anderson and Sean Davari, Airwolf and Giant Griffin. Tomahawk Kid, I think, is still in his first 10 matches, but he's a pretty cool dude. He goes to a lot of shows, he helps out, and he's starting to get on a roll right now.
Yeah, and I think this is a great opportunity for, as you mentioned, the kids from the academy. You got guys like Cal Creed, you got Tomahawk Kid. Basically, you have half your roster that's given the opportunity to wrestle in Wisconsin for the first time. I know that Giant Griffin was posting it that this is his first out of Minnesota experience. So what's that like for you to be able to hand that opportunity to somebody that maybe at the early career maybe wouldn't have that opportunity just on their own?
It's pretty good. I know some of those guys, like Petey Brown. He's not on the show, but he started out at the same time as Jack Griffin. He got to wrestle up in Canada, I think, was his first match. So it's a surprise to me that Jack Griffin hasn't been outside of the cities yet, but I'm pretty sure that Eau Claire is going to love to see Jack Griffin. He's pretty much one of the hottest things going in the cities right now.
Yeah, I remember seeing him and I think it was Stonehenge and at Battleground a couple months ago, and I remember just the crowd just, you know, loved everything Giant Griffin. You know, just, you know, you couldn't do a you couldn't do anything against him and get cheered if you were facing Giant Griffin. Like, you know, Giant Griffin was the fan favorite essentially.
Yeah, they over at Battleground they just crowned their first tag team champions over the last handful of shows and wound up going to Giant Griffin and Cody Rice in the finals of that tournament. It was them and Jordy Lee and Joey Avalon, and that honestly was probably one of my favorite matches I've seen live. Just the atmosphere in the room for all four of those guys was amazing.
Now with Showtime, are you guys going to be running on a regular basis? Is it just a one-off show? What can we expect from you guys in the future?
Yeah, so right now, the only thing set in stone is the show this weekend, but pending a good turnout, which we're all hoping for, the venue wants more wrestling, we want to do more shows. I'm sure the city will, you know, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, the wrestling fans around the area, as long as they turn out, I do believe that we will be running more shows.
So how do fans get a hold of Showtime Championship Wrestling? How do they get event details? Where can they go for all things Showtime Championship Wrestling related?
Well, we are primarily on Facebook. Just search Showtime Championship Wrestling. Probably the most active on there. Otherwise, we're also on Twitter and Instagram, also under Showtime Championship Wrestling. I guess they aren't right. Remember the exact Twitter handle, but
you can kind of find it if you just type it in, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're pretty good at search bar, just Showtime Championship Wrestling. It should bring us up, but yeah, like I said, mainly active for the most part on Facebook, and I do a pretty good job of getting back to messages and comments and whatnot from people.
Well, awesome sauce. If you guys have a chance, you're up in the Eau Claire area this weekend, this is definitely a show you do not want to miss. Hey, Josh, we got to thank you for being on Grapple Talk. We got to hang out one of these days and just catch up.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I've been down to the cross since probably October.
Yeah, I don't think I've been up in the cities in probably October, too. It was also that Crush 2 show was the last time I was up there. Yeah. We're doing it in October. We'll just get together in October and do a one-year type of thing.
Yeah. That'll be our reunion.
All right, cool, Josh. Hey, good luck this weekend, and we'll catch you down the road.
Thank you.
Now, Alex, that's a huge show coming up here for Showtime Pro Wrestling. If you guys have a chance to check out this show, do it. The card is stacked. All the money's going back to a good cause. And I know if we get an opportunity to go up there, we're definitely going.
Yeah, absolutely. You got matches like Devlin Kane and Heavy Metal War, which, you know, both these guys are just giant brutes that, you know, it'll be a really good hard-hitting matchup. You have Airwolf that'll be in action. You have Aaron Sacrifice that'll be action. Cal Creed. Yeah, the list goes on and on. This Saturday, Eagles Club Banquet Hall in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. All ticket sales are benefiting the Eau Claire Adult Special Olympic Athletes. So not only is it going to be a great show, but it's going to be for a great cause, Jesse.
All right, cool. So one of the things we wanted to discuss on the show before we get too far, of course, is this whole dive thing going on right now. And it's almost interesting to see the divide that we're seeing with a lot of wrestling fans, even wrestlers themselves, when it comes to how pro wrestling should be presented these days. AC, I gotta ask you, as a guy who's actually inside the ring, you're out there, is it something that's being overblown by a lot of people right now? Is it one of those things where maybe, I don't know, is there just a giant disconnect?
I think it just depends on the internet. I mean, you know, it's
just, like speed?
It's just everything. Just, you know, one person takes something and just totally blows it out of proportion. I mean, case in point, this all started just because Randy Orton was saying, this is in my opinion, the bottom line, he was like, this is my opinion on how indie wrestling is today. And that he just shot it. And unfortunately, he's in a higher pedestal than the rest of the people. But even his response, Jesse, have you seen his response?
Yeah, I did.
If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. But he basically says, sorry to any marts, indie guys, and old-timers who do dives took offense. Just having a good time over a few drinks in Denmark, closing the SmackDown Live tour, while beating Raw and making over $5 million in the last 11 shows. Now, I know to some that doesn't equate to a standing-room-only crowd of 150 people paying $8 in an armory somewhere, but in the big boy world, that's called putting asses in seats. You know, he even ends it with that headlock, just to keep the whole momentum going. But I think it's just bottom line, it's just the case in point of, you know, using social media to, you know, showcase your opinion, and unfortunately, some people might not necessarily agree with that. You know, that'd be like if you were on Twitter and you had the following of Randy Orton and you were saying,
oh God, that'd be a terrible thing.
It'd be probably horrible. But that's the thing, is that if you were on social media and you were talking about, well, this is my opinion on indie wrestling today, there's going to be people that agree with you. There's going to be people that's like, you're full of shit, Jesse.
You know, there's actually a lot of people that say that to me on a daily basis. It's one of the things, it's a fact of life. You know?
But basically with Randy Orton's following, you would just have more than a couple million saying mm-hmm. that. And opposed to, like, three.
You know, it's always kind of weird, too, because when you look at pro wrestling, it's very much like, just like any other form of entertainment, there's different genres, and sometimes you have different genres bleeding together. So you can see, like, a horror comedy, you know? You could see, like, a suspense romance movie, you know? So when you start seeing different forms of wrestling, whether it be the strong style, Lucha Libre, mm-hmm. the British grappling, you start seeing them blended together, and when you have guys just doing spots to fill spots,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if there is something about that where you're just doing it just to do it instead of doing it for effect.
Well, I think it's interesting because obviously the WWE has been showcasing that there's multiple styles of professional wrestling. Case in point, the Cruiserweight Classic, because mm-hmm. that was literally just that everybody wrestling weighed 205 or under, but they came from different brands. There wasn't that they were all Lucha Libre, they weren't all technical, they were from all over. You know, they had strong style, technical, brawling, Lucha Libre, etc. So there's definitely the showcase that, you know, they acknowledge that there's more types of wrestling, but like you said, maybe it's just, oh, I'm going to do this because it seems cool. You know, and does it necessarily... Does it really call for it is the question. But at the same time, as long as there's psychology in it, I feel like that's the thing that people always forget. And that's the common thing that brings it all together, is that why would you do this? What's the reason for it? Does it make sense?
That's always one of the big things. As long as it makes sense, it's always going to matter. But one of these days, you know, we're going to find out whether or not it makes sense. Is it going to be one of those things where you actually see higher-level indies maybe, like, back off mm-hmm. just to see if they can actually do it? Because I know one of the things that a lot of people actually have a gripe with Evolve there for a while was their grapple-fuck style, which is basically very high on technical wrestling, but that wasn't for everyone.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just one of those things where, even if you listen to, like, Tony Schiavone's podcast, when they're talking about the cruiserweights in WCW, back in 97, he thought they were doing too many high spots.
Yeah.
So this is just one of those things where maybe it's wrestling, everyone's got a different taste. Everyone's going to have a different opinion.
Oh, exactly.
And maybe, you know, maybe someone would actually start hating headlocks now.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, you know, with Tony Schiavone saying that there's too many high spots in a match.
Tony Schiavone.
But at the same time, there's probably somebody that contradicts his opinion and says there wasn't enough high spots. You know what I mean? It's not one style benefits the entire wrestling fan base. So that's the unfortunate thing. There's not one right way to do everything, because if you think that you have it down, then you're going to miss one thing, and then somebody's going to be like, oh, well, you don't know what you're doing. So it's one of those things, unfortunately, where, again, it's not about what style you're doing. It's not how many dives. It just doesn't make sense to do, you know, 50 dives. It doesn't make sense to do 50 headlocks. Doesn't make sense to do 20 arm ringers, etc. It's all about psychology. It's not about dives or headlocks.
So this is actually pretty great. You know, sometimes when you get text messages, they were actually meant for other people. But, hey, you know, we got an interview coming up here with Nathan Gus. It was a lot of fun. And basically, no structure, just catching up with the dude.
No, I mean, Nathan Gus is, he's in town just, you know, for training for his shoot job, and decided he wanted to invade Grapple Talk, and we're like, sure, let's do it. So it wasn't really more so an invasion. It was more like he was at the gate, and we opened the gate for him. So we just started recording, and then we just kind of shot the shit and literally just full-circled every conversation with a full circle.
Yeah, go figure, man.
Well, let's take a break. We'll get back to that, and then we'll have Nathan Gus on the show where we just talk about everything you wish you were right here on Grapple Talk.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern Independent Wrestling.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
The Brock's used words.
Of course it was.
Yeah, because he literally, every post he does, that's a hashtag you wish you were. And every comment and everything, so...
Do you ever wish that you were?
That's a good question. I don't know. Do you? Do you ever wish you were?
What? That's the end of the question. Is it?
It should be.
I feel like I need to go back to college just to understand Brock's catchphrases.
Brock teaching philosophy 101?
Yes.
Just the first thing you go in is like, you wish you were, and then by the end of the semester you're supposed to figure out what that means?
He just starts out their very first class. He writes his name, Mr. Brock Hall. He has, like, his textbook, and before he even sits down, he just slams it on the desk. It says, you wish you were. And then he sits down, doesn't say a word the next 2.5 hours. And then the bell rings, and they leave. I don't know how long a class is. I just assume it's 2.5 hours.
I think if it's, like, the you know, two times a week or something like that, it's a little longer.
Okay.
Now, if it's, like, the three times, only, like, 45 minutes.
I went to University of Phoenix, so all you had to do show up.
You just had to log in?
Yeah. Hmm. No, I was on campus.
Oh.
All you have to do is, you know, like, sign your name that you're there and you get an A.
Oh, wow.
How was the campus, though?
It was just a small building. There were, like, 10 rooms. There were, like, 3 employees.
Yeah. You sure it wasn't someone's house?
Well, they did have to close that location, so now it's probably in somebody's basement.
That might be a real thing.
It'd be a really good place to go to school.
Yeah.
Someone's basement?
Yeah. You have to park on the street.
Yeah, I think that's called Sunday school.
Hey, son, I'll drop you off at school. Where is it? Oh, okay, I'll give you directions. Pull up at somebody's house. This isn't a campus, son.
No, it's a meth lab.
It's down in the basement.
Down in the meth lab.
I'm taking the chemistry class.
Yeah, taking chemistry.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
We were talking about Breaking Bad today. It's a class. I don't remember
chemistry and criminal justice. Because obviously they have to kind of know the law.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of ethics in there as well.
Sure.
Yeah, a little bit. Debatable.
Firearm training, too.
Yeah, but it's not accredited.
That's true. You that's know. That's the rec sport hunting club or shooting club.
It's not a bad idea.
Except in shooting targets, you just shoot like rival meth gangs.
Do they pop up and they're just cardboard?
No, like they try to raid your like it's a live action thing. They'll bust down the basement and you just shoot them.
Sure, that's your training. You have to murder people.
Yeah, if you survive, then you get a medal. You go up a rank.
I love it.
If you fail, then you know you're dead.
So. Hardcore Henry 2.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen that movie.
I don't even know that was a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. What? Yeah,
it's a movie.
It's a totally first person.
It's literally like this guy. Yeah, and had him jump out of buildings.
That's right. Now I remember that there was a bunch of Facebook videos, and then all of a sudden I saw the trailer, and it's like, oh, I get it.
The first trailer, I thought it was a video game. I thought, what system has such realistic graphics that this is happening?
That's a trick question. None.
That exactly. It's the PS99. It's so far in the future that, and then they sent back Hardcore Henry. That's not even a movie.
It's not even a movie. It's actual game.
It's just cutscenes.
It's real life.
Hmm. Sure, it's even cutscenes by that point. It's just like that's actual gameplay.
What was that movie where they got in this like virtual world and there was drugs and killing and man, I feel like that's a lot of movies.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you
said
virtual world, and I was gonna assume Tron, but then you kept going on.
No, there were drugs and prostitutes and killing people. And
was it Grand Theft Auto the movie?
Oh, that'd be awesome. If only.
I mean, those games are becoming more or less like just giant movies now.
No games, period.
True.
Just becoming giant movies.
That's very true.
I'm still stuck on Super Mario. I still can't beat it.
That's probably the movie you saw.
Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to play any games right now with the arm and the same.
I got my left hand. I can play games on my phone. And
you can play Pong, can't you?
I'm not coordinated for that.
Fair enough.
No, Pong's pretty hardcore, man.
It is.
It's a tough game.
Only one side of my brain works, and I haven't decided which one it is, so I gotta stay away from Pong. You have a lot of concussions? Concussions are fun.
So how many concussions you have so far?
How many is too many?
Probably more than three.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Like, it's very much spread out, or just kind of like in clusters?
Oh, they're spread out. I think the first probably five were in clusters,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't remember much after that.
Yeah,
you're like the guy in that like Big Texas in that football movie with Angelina Jolie's dad, like where the linebacker just gets those serious concussions and
you lost me at football.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Are we talking about Rudy?
No,
that's the only football movie I've seen.
It's not
Varsity
Rudy.
Blues.
It might be. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I don't want your life.
It's probably the one. He's got the cross eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. He's a bigger, heavy set guy.
Yep.
Yeah. That was probably Varsity Blues.
They made fun of him in Not Another Teen Movie, I realized.
Yeah, that's one. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was on Comedy Central like a year or two after, and then I was like, oh, I get that reference now.
So it took you 2 years to get the reference?
Well, it's like I've never seen the movie prior to watching Not Another Teen Movie.
So how do you know it was actually a reference?
Well, it's the same thing. I saw the movie, and I thought, well, why is this funny? So I looked it up, and I thought, okay, I'll watch this. And then it's the first time I saw Varsity Blues.
So your gateway was the reference to go watch it originally.
Yep. Down the rabbit hole.
What do you think Family Guy is for? It's to get me to watch things that Seth MacFarlane thinks are entertaining.
No, I just thought it was to make money.
He's printing in his own money now.
Yeah, he is. It's terrible.
It's like Colin Brooks, except his money actually might be accepted.
Hey, you don't know that Brooks Bucks are not accepted in third world countries.
Mm.
Have you tried?
The only thing that actually is accepted in third world country is food and loser merchandise. So it very well could be that Colin Brooks' money is currency in a third world country.
Like all those shades that he had that no one ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, well, why don't I just get chokeslammed on top of these? Okay.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. You know, if your merch isn't selling, destroy it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, most of Jordy Lee's merch came from Party City, so.
Well, Jordy's a smart guy. Now, you got a new shirt out, too, right?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So what was the thought process behind the shirt? Because it's a slick shirt, dude.
The thought process was everybody is ripping off the Bullet Club, but nobody's ripping off The Walking Dead.
It's true.
You see so many. I love knockoff shirts.
Yeah.
And that's 98% of everything on Pro Wrestling Tees is something that came from something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to thinking about that. And I was really trying to convince myself that after all this time, I don't want to wear gear anymore. I want to wear jeans because it seems comfortable. So that was my segue into wearing jeans was, I'm gonna change everything up. I'm going to wear these like grungy looking jeans. I'm going to have a zombie t-shirt and it's going to be cool. And I guess it worked.
Cool.
But man, the entire design took me like 20 minutes. 15 of that was just the bottom where it says ACW Original Evil. Just trying to mimic the AMC logo.
Yeah.
Trying to get the font and the size and everything right. And I hope they don't notice that I knocked off their logo, but, you know.
Can I just take the logo and just, like, flip the M and the W?
I did try that.
Yeah.
It did not work.
No, it didn't? Just looked kind of weird? Or?
It looked awful.
Oh, jeez.
M's and W's look very similar in some fonts, but not in that font.
Yeah. So what's the name of that font, then?
I had to look it up on the Google.
Didn't you just Google
AMC font?
Yeah, just AMC font and...
It was
sometimes tough though because sometimes it's like a font that you have to pay for and nobody wants to do that.
I don't want to pay for that.
So you have to always try. Like sometimes you get lucky with it. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is a font specifically designed for this, and then other times it's like, here it is. Exactly what you need.
I will come clean. My name is Nathan Gust, and I am a fontor.
Hi, Nathan Gust.
I download a font for one use, and then it just sits in a folder. Man, it just sits there, and I never touch it again.
Hey, man, that's like 99% of all fonts.
Oh, good.
You know, because think about it. Right? It's like no matter what you're doing, usually you always have your go-to fonts.
Yeah.
So if you were given thousands upon thousands, you're going to find ones you just absolutely hate. And you're going to find like maybe three or four that you just absolutely love for what you do.
My big font right now is Press Exploding. Because it comes in regular and then like distorted.
Okay.
So that's what I use for all the ACW stuff now.
That's
always slick. Tried to have a different font for ICW, ACW, WPW, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then somehow I ended up using American Captain on everything because it looked cool, and I like Captain America. But then I noticed that thanks to the posters that Grapple Talk shares,
hey,
everybody uses that font.
That's okay. True.
Everyone, not even just in the Midwest. I've seen it all over the country. Everybody downloaded American Captain, and that's what they use.
So you see it in Georgia?
Everywhere.
Montana?
Everywhere.
Nevada.
The country of Georgia also.
Oh, wow. In the country of Georgia? I didn't even know they had wrestling in it.
Yeah, Georgia Pro Wrestling. I don't know if that's real. I'll Google it sometime.
It might be. You never know.
Once I saw it on everyone else's, I couldn't use it anymore.
Gotcha.
And Smash uses it for the Fox River Raiders.
Hmm.
Because I make all of their stuff, too. And he's like, oh, I really like this font. No, please don't use that. Please don't. But he pays me, so I use that font.
True. You can't really, can't turn down money, right?
No.
So that makes you more of a money whore than a font whore.
Yeah, I got bills and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making stuff for his football team actually pays better than wrestling.
I believe that.
It's fantastic. He shows up and hands me money. I'm doing very minimal amount of work right now.
You think some of that is, like, you know, all three of us here do graphic or video work. You think sometimes it is the pockets of the budget when it comes to promoters in comparison to the budget in the pockets when it comes to someone outside of wrestling, where they rather keep everything kind of tight and see if you can go with it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
I noticed that with wedding ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthie had a wedding that he was going to ordain, and then he realized he was in, I think, Virginia on vacation. I thought, okay, you know, he gave me the contact, and I went and did it. It was nuts. Like, a ridiculous amount of money just to meet strangers the day before their wedding and say, hey, these are the words. And then the next day I read them and then I go home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think twice I've made more than that wrestling, but...
Yeah, but that's only twice.
But that's only twice.
Yeah.
When I could just do a wedding and not hurt myself and sometimes wear a Star Wars tie when I do it.
So is that like the next career route? I know you're down here in lacrosse, you know, for the Quit Trip gimmick and all that stuff. But like when you're done with wrestling, what are you going to do, man?
When
Yeah.
That'll never happen.
No, no, you're always Terry Funk.
I'm always going to be involved in some way. I can't escape it. I've been trying for 11 years to not do it anymore.
So basically since, like, day one.
Yeah.
You've been trying to find a way to get out.
Ever since the moment I was born, I've been dying.
That's it, everyone.
Thank you, 50 Cent. Hey. Wherever you are.
You're welcome.
Wait.
Wait a minute.
Wait, hold on.
Were you 50 Cent all along?
Maybe.
I thought there was something up about you. Yeah?
Hold on.
I don't see it.
No, I don't see it.
If you close your eyes.
If you close your eyes, it still doesn't look like
him.
Right?
No.
While I am in lacrosse, I'm here for a week, and I'm in a room. There are 57 of us in our final week of training, which is awesome because we open 50 stores a year.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's mentioning, like, oh, I just got engaged. You know, we're going to get married later this year. And I'm an ordained minister if you ever need me. I hear it all the time at my store. Yeah. I'm ordained.
It was like, hey. Here's my card.
Notice me. Oh, I need to get a business card.
Yeah, make sure they actually put the right number on there, too.
Yeah, so why?
All right, cool. So for what apparent reason, like, they just gave me a box of business cards.
Perfect.
Like, someone in the company thought it was a smart idea to give me 500 business cards.
It's very generous.
So usually nine times...
499 too many.
Yeah, more than likely. The crazy thing is sometimes someone spells my name wrong email address, something else. And I'm just, like, looking over the box and looking at the card that's attached to the front, and I'm like, that's the wrong cell phone number. I haven't had that cell phone number in, like, 5 years. And, like, members of this company...
But then nobody tried to call you.
Well, the terrible thing is, like, everyone in the company calls me on my cell phone. And it's like, everyone's got the number. Mm-hmm. They didn't double-check it. It's crazy.
They don't want people calling you.
Which is dumb. Which is dumb.
They try to call you, and this number has been disconnected.
Because you know what's going to happen now. Someone in the company is going to be like, oh, I got Jesse's, business card. I'm going to call him up. Something really important.
It's going to be an emergency.
Yeah.
Can't get a hold of you.
Can't get a hold of me.
Yep. What the hell? He turned his phone off?
Yeah. Jackass, you're fired.
Side note, those cards will be really good if you have, like, a girl that, you know, you have no intention of calling the next day.
Fact.
And you give them the business cards, like, hey, here's my contact.
I'm a big deal, here's my business card.
Exactly. And then they'll call the number, and it's like, this phone number's been disconnected. It's like, wow, I get the message.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's even better, not hanging out with women that you don't want to hang out with again.
But, I mean, I'm saying is that, like, if you're at the bar or something like that, and then, you're talking with a girl, and then you kind of... initially you're like, oh, this girl's all right. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, I don't really like this girl. I'm going to kind of leave, but nah, I don't want to be a dick. So you give them a card, and then it's like, you can be a dick.
When's the last time you gave a random girl a phone number?
But you have
to consider the source.
You really can.
You have to consider the source because Melissa already has his phone number.
Well, she got that before they actually met. That's a terrible thing. What about you, Nathan? When's the last time you actually, before you even got married? Like, did you give Mickey, your phone number? Like, or was it like, hey, find me on social media, find me on MySpace?
Never.
Never?
Not once ever.
You never gave her your phone number?
Nope.
She still doesn't have it.
Still doesn't have it.
Crazy. Absolutely nuts.
It's been 10 years, she still doesn't. Well, no, she had to have my phone number because I couldn't remember it.
Yeah.
So if somebody ever asked what my number was, I'm just, one?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually one. What is my number? I'm not going to say it anymore.
No, then you're just going to have random people calling you and asking for the American Captain font.
Oh, man, all you have to do is go to dafont.com. It's all on there. I browse it once a week just to find fonts, even if I don't need them, you know, because I'm addicted. I just shoot fonts into my veins.
Yes. Man, that's terrible.
Helvetica. Deutschlander. That's a good one, too. So it's real small.
Yeah.
It's real, like, compact.
You steal all the fonts for the Alien franchise now, too, or not?
No, not yet.
No, not yet?
No.
You should.
I tried to stay away from the fonts while they're popular.
Mm-hmm.
I wait until the buzz is over. And
it's like using Star Wars font when the new Star Wars movie came out. It's like everybody was doing that.
I have to wait too many Star Wars fonts.
That's true.
Way too many.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to wait like 10 years now.
Oh, yeah, I suppose there are going to be a lot more movies.
Yeah, it's going to be one a year, so.
I think we need more than that.
More than that. More than one a year?
December and, like, May. That's it. Just do it.
Okay, could you actually live if, like, they did the Marvel type of thing? Like, 4 Star Wars movies a year.
If they could keep them unique,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, Marvel has created such a huge universe where they're all connected, but you don't exactly know how.
Mm-hmm.
So if Star Wars could do that, but I think that being a Marvel fan and a Star Wars fan, I think that Star Wars fans would freak out if they couldn't figure out the timeline immediately and where everything's connected.
Yeah.
And they would somehow still blame George Lucas.
Even though he has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. But they would still find a way to blame him.
Mm-hmm.
He did this to them. Well, no, he did a lot of awful things to them, but it wasn't this.
Is it one of those things with, like, Star Wars right now? It almost seems like everything's beholden to the original trilogy, and you gotta connect it to that.
Yeah.
Could they actually get, like, outside of it and do something like extended universe at this point?
Well, that's what was cool, that Rogue One was extended, but it was part of...
Tied right back in, like, right as the beginning of New Hope.
Everything New Hope could have been if George Lucas had money and then somebody else to write it.
If he had, like, Oliver Stone to write it. Yeah.
If he had literally anybody else. If he just walked into a Starbucks in 1976. Was there a Starbucks back then?
Sure. Maybe it was, like, 72 or 73.
Okay, so if he had walked into a coffee shop in the mid-70s and said, hey, I need anyone on the planet to write this movie for me who's not me, I think that would have been fantastic.
Now, did Lucas actually write the screenplay for Willow as well?
You know, I don't know.
Because, like, I think he's got screenplay credits for, like, the Indiana Jones series.
I think he just wants credit.
Yeah. Well, come on. Why not?
Yeah, he probably walked into the studios of My Little Pony and said, throw my name down, and then he walked out.
Name all the ponies after me. He probably said that.
You know, I'll have to ask TJ.
I mean, TJ knows
a lot about My Little Pony.
Ask if there's a pony named George.
He's a brony.
A pony named George.
Yeah. And it's just got a big, like, bushy white beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And slicked back hair.
Why is a pony named George not a wrestling event?
Don't give PWG any ideas.
Well, either PWG or, like, Progress would pick it up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it for a Now show if those were a thing.
Hey, man, aren't you the booker now?
Yeah, we don't have shows now anymore.
So no Now shows now?
Nope. I guess not.
So this is breaking news? What happened?
I'm still hoping to dig up some gross, nasty venue to run a show at, but Saucy's is too classy. That's what I'm told.
How did you get too classy?
So is this kind of like the public shaming of Ruthie?
Well, no,
like,
not
like, like, hey, he not went, doing shows, you know, but it's all Ruthie's fault.
No, not at all. He went corporate.
Oh, he went corporate?
He's part of the man.
You know, he didn't sell out, he bought
it. It's not a bar anymore. It's a lounge. It's like a really...
A lounge?
Yeah.
They new seats and everything?
They destroyed everything and rebuilt it. It's a lounge. It doesn't have a dance floor, which keeps out all the Asians and the MMA fans. It's...
Wait. So all MMA fans love dancing?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
There was a lot of tap-out shirts at the dance floor.
It was ridiculous.
Sure, it's just not the fashion in that town?
No, nobody there is tough.
That's why they wear tap-out shirts.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Huh. I guess I'm too far from Manitowoc right now for them to fight me.
Here's a question. Has anybody wearing tap-out walked in ever since the renovation, do you know?
Well, I would imagine that they walk in and they look around and then they just walk out.
There you go. It keeps the MMA fans out.
Yeah.
Or it keeps the tap-out brand out of Saucy's either way.
Or, like, they walk in and Ruthie's like, hey, in order to stay here, you have to put on a button-up shirt.
Yeah, he just, have to wear button-ups there now?
I would assume, and maybe like a dickie. Do people still wear dickies?
Some people do. Not all people.
Yeah, people who work in certain industries still wear dickies.
Sure.
You know, like welders and you know, car mechanics.
Good.
Yeah.
And AJ, because he doesn't have any shirts that fit him, apparently.
How?
That's a real thing. He told me that he has the dickie, and then he has, like, a bunch of shirts that don't fit him, and then he takes the graphic and then patches it on his dickie.
That's fantastic.
Wait. You're phrasing on that.
Phrasing.
Oh, I love Archer.
Yeah.
Archer Sterling's a cool guy, too, but I haven't seen him.
I just finished watching season 7 on Hulu.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
It was good Tarantino circle thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't have cable, so I guess I have to wait until it shows up on Hulu or Netflix, so... I don't know if it's currently on right now. I don't.
The season 7 one? Like the one after the...
Whatever the last season on Netflix, that's all I saw.
Okay.
No, you have cable. You should know this.
Yeah, but it's not like I have cable in my room.
Nerd. Only nerds have cable in their room.
People with roommates only have cable.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. It's too expensive.
Yeah, our cable is just in our living room, and then the TVs in the separate rooms is just, you know, connected to the consoles or for internet or whatever. So,
so you guys haven't ran, like, coax or anything?
We used to do that, but then it was more expensive to get multiple cable boxes, so then we're just like, nah, we'll just have the one.
My mom is my neighbor. She lives in an apartment downstairs, so I'm sure there's some way I could borrow her cable.
Now, one of the things you can actually do is, I know Brown uses a Roku stick, right? You can actually get the apps for half those channels, as long as you have your mother's password for whatever provider she has.
I have two Rokus. I should try that.
Yeah.
What about your father's password? Like, if you don't have a mother, I'm just curious. Ask for a friend.
I didn't know you didn't have a father. I thought you had two.
Oh, they're not asking for me. I'm asking for a friend.
When you say the phrase, I'm asking for a friend, usually it always comes back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey man,
I'm looking for weed. I'm asking for a friend.
Right. Yeah. Hey, have you seen this rash before? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, Evan, you lift up your shirt and there's a rash.
And you are the friend.
Yeah.
You are the rash.
I am the rash.
I am the table.
Nice. I just finished watching Botchamania.
Wish you were.
Yeah, you wish you were.
Yeah, you wish you were.
See, everything goes back
full
to
circle.
So Botchamania, right?
Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. Except like the last 8 minutes, because it's nothing. They say thank you for watching, and then it's just stupid videos that have nothing to do with Botchamania.
I'm glad that the rock honk honk thing is kind of starting to die down. Ending, because that was like every ending, and then it's like, all right, that's enough. You can't keep doing this.
I don't remember if it was the most recent one. There was some botch on it that was on like 3 Botchamanias ago, and they played the full thing again. I don't know if anybody noticed. But it's just like, oh, you ran out of stuff, so you just used stuff from 3 weeks ago?
So you think it was just an intentional botch?
I think that they botched the botch on the botching of the botch.
So, like, botched to 7th power.
How much botch could have... You wish you were. See?
It goes back full circle.
Everything.
Just totally makes sense.
There was one time that Brock was the Heart Brock Kid, and it was the greatest thing ever. Yeah, I forget. I don't know who it was. There's somebody in the UP, just like one of the guys in UPW, just like randomly gave me his tights, and they were like white pleather tights with red hearts all down the sides.
Was it Jack Steele?
No. And he
had those tights,
and I hated them. I just they were awful. I didn't want them, but I was like, oh man, Brock likes Shawn Michaels. I'm gonna give these to Brock. And then we were at a show in Rockwood. He was the X Division champion, and because of the lack of roster depth in WPW at the time, Brock and I were the main event.
Oh, wow.
Just for fun, he wore those, and that was it. He was the Heart Brock Kid. And sometimes, you wish you were.
Yep. So, Brock was high velocity, and then, of course, we find out that Matt Hardy was high voltage.
Yes.
So, HV, they both have the HV tights.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he's been following
HVK, the high velocity kid.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he's been, you know, circling around Matt Hardy's career for as long as we know, you know, intentionally or not. So how soon until Matt Hardy starts becoming the real Matt Hardy?
That will he'll be the real Matt Hardy when we see Broken Brock Hall.
Okay.
I think at some point they're going to switch gimmicks. Because Matt has to know that Brock has been ripping him off for 5 years. He has to. Somebody had to have at some point told him, hey, this guy looks exactly like you, and he's got a V1 thing on his shirt, and he's doing all your moves. Somebody had to have told him.
I mean, if you think about it, that actually might be a good thing for Brock that he's on Matt Hardy's radar, because Matt Hardy's, you know, pretty suited with the internet.
Sure.
Brock's pretty good with the internet.
Sure.
So it means that they might be...
Exactly.
So, you know, that might actually be a good thing that Matt Hardy has seen all of his stuff on the internet and has been able to copy him.
I now believe that all of this Broken Universe happened because of Brock.
Explain.
Okay, so Brock was doing the Brock Hardy for so long. So somehow Matt found out about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets... And he's like, man, he's doing it so much better. He's a better Matt Hardy than Matt Hardy. So... And then that's what broke him.
was that someone was doing him
that
better.
Somebody was doing his gimmick.
So do you think Fat Hardy was a result of his like depression and denial?
Yes.
That there was a better Matt Hardy than him?
Yeah.
And he just eating his feelings.
He's eating the regret of not being Brock Hardy, which comes back to you wish you were.
Hmm.
Matt wishes he were Brock.
You know, I think a lot of that, like, how long has Brock been in now? 5 years. 5 years?
I like how you guys always make it sound like prison. How long has he been in for?
How long has he been inside? When's he get out?
I'm just as fine as I'll ever be out.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he's been doing this 5 years, I mean, that kind of syncs up with that timeline.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, man, this is great. This is great stuff.
Because, what, 20?
I can call it Russo.
Yeah. Swerved.
He's going to eat this up.
Swerved. Exactly.
So nobody's going to shock me while I'm here, right?
No.
I don't have to punch a cameraman and then get sued?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. Poor Titus.
Poor Titus.
Well, maybe just don't punch camera guys.
And maybe you don't tase somebody with a cattle prod.
Yeah, maybe just don't be on the WWE roster if you don't want to be tased by a cattle prod. that's pretty even stuff.
I wonder how many times it actually happened when there was no camera.
Too many times.
Where JBL just gets bored of normal bullying and he just grabs his cattle prod. I assume he has a cattle prod.
He's from Texas.
He keeps it in like his console?
Yeah.
Like right next to him. He's like, oh my god.
You know, the interesting part about that is that it seems like with Titus O'Neil, if he touches anything, then he gets suspended.
That's part of his brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, what, he touched Vince on the way out or something like that, and he got suspended for, like, 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then he punched a camera guy, so he touched him with his fist very hard.
Touched him with his fist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Touched by a fist, the A.C. Riley story.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, by a fist.
It's not a good idea, but it's an idea.
Yeah. At the very least, it's an idea.
Yeah. So why doesn't Titus O'Neil just call himself Bad Touch?
Ooh. Could then he somehow team up with the Romantic Touch? We never found out who he was, but we know who he is.
Well, you know, if you call the tag team Fisted.
I think that's a thing. It's got to be a thing somewhere.
It probably is.
It probably is.
If it's on the internet, it's probably a thing.
Team Fist.
Probably, I wouldn't doubt it.
You gotta have your parental lock on when you search that, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might find some weird stuff with Paige.
Yikes.
Mm. Every week, speaking of
Botchamania endings, awesome. That might be one of my favorite endings from that week of the whole Paige, Xavier Woods, Del Rio, when they had the Southpaw Regional Wrestling. It's like, so much has happened this week. So much that we can talk about, so much that we can't talk about. And it was like a clip.
It's like somehow they knew.
And it was a clip of Paige and Xavier Woods playing Twister, and then it just cuts the scene, and just like,
well, my favorite part of that scene with when they were doing Twister was you, and nobody thought about it at the time, but they're doing that and they're all like pretzeled together, and then you just see Big E's face in the back, and he's just,
yeah,
he's just
like
making,
he knew.
He's just staring right at the camera, just making a face.
Yeah.
You're like, wow,
yeah,
he knew all. He was probably the one filming them filming. Do we know who was filming them filming, or was it just somebody? Was it just on a tripod? What do you think?
Hmm. I don't know.
You don't know how steady the footage was because it was somebody recording a monitor that was a recording of them recording.
So this is going to end up being like the JFK conspiracy.
Who was the third guy?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, chances are it was Hogan.
Brother.
Brother.
Well, I mean, he's got experience with wrestling
and
pornography.
And black guys.
Yeah.
And black guys.
In the same video.
Oh. Oh. That part was edited out of the Paige video. Where he's just shouting racial slurs at Woods.
The director's cut.
Wow.
There's got to be more footage out there. And I love that. I love all the theories. Like, it was it was Brad Maddox. I don't think so.
Why?
He would have done it when he was released if it was that big of a deal. Then what Del Rio thinks it was Vince or Vince and Triple H himself.
Yeah.
That they released it. How did they have the footage then?
Here's the crazy thing, though. It's like, no matter what, it's almost like every week there's someone new that's getting hacked.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, like, more than likely, just a really perverted wrestling fan. So that really
narrows
down
wrestling. No, those don't exist.
Oh. But that really narrows down our search, guys.
Sure.
To at least 50 million people.
I think that broadens it more.
You know, but it narrows it down to 50 million people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. There's got to be more clues.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be.
Literally, the search goes from two possible leads of Brad Maddox and Vince McMahon, and then it just winds to everybody.
I don't think Vince would be the type of guy to be like, goddamn, pal, I'm going to release these sex tapes.
While she's still employed, we're going to make the whole company look like trash.
Yes!
And then we're going to film a movie about her life.
Perfect.
While this is going on.
Yep. Yes!
I think it was just to promote the movie.
That's a terrible way to promote a movie. You never see that, like, with Vin Diesel, you know?
Well, probably what happened is the footage got released, and then The Rock called her up personally, Paige, and was like, listen, this video, poor quality. Come to my production company. We'll get this done right.
I don't think The Rock actually did that.
You don't know that happened. Sure. The Rock has one of those, like, interview couches.
I think it's called a casting couch.
Casting couch, yes. Yeah, sure.
This guy, I don't know.
Sorry, I don't watch as much porn as you do, obviously.
Everybody knows that term. You see a picture of a couch on Facebook, and you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is, I just don't know what it's called.
Well, sure, I mean, you didn't talk a lot when you were on it.
My brain versus my mouth.
My food hole.
My food hole. I actually like that a lot better.
Food hole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Shut your food hole.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that you're wearing a New Day shirt.
Yeah.
Maybe it was you.
No, it wasn't me.
You sure?
It wasn't me.
Was it the other Alex Couldn't Riley? Be.
Could have been the other Alex.
Yeah,
this is interesting here.
They were in NXT together.
Yeah.
All of them.
He was full of rage.
Alex Riley ripping off both of us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jerk. I should have got on steroids. No, I don't.
No, you don't want to get on steroids.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I've seen the
You'd be the weirdest Quick Trip employee ever. Just roided it up.
No, it is weirder.
I thought.
Would you like three glazers for a donut?
Why are you yelling?
Three glazers for a donut?
Three.
You're going to put three of them together and make one donut.
Three for a donut.
Well, this is really.
It's too cool. Yeah.
But he's so roided up, he doesn't know his words.
Can't even bend my arms to make him up.
No, man, he just like pops it on his fingers. And he's like,
did you know that's how the hole was invented in a donut?
Someone fingered a bun?
Because I forget the guy's name. He was a sailor, and his mom would bake him and the crew donuts.
So a sailor would finger a bun and make a donut?
Basically.
Hmm.
So the mom would bake these donuts, but the way she was baking them, the middle was cold.
Okay.
So to take care of that, she just poked a hole right through the middle, took out that raw dough, gave them the donuts.
So you're saying basically this sailor's mother was a terrible baker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember their names. It's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
It may not be a true story.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid story, though. Or is it similar to, like, the bagel? It's both about the same format, right?
Yeah.
Except the only difference really has to be, like, the cooking of it?
I don't know if I've ever eaten a bagel.
You never had a bagel?
No, I don't
think so. Have you never had a bagel?
What is this, 21 questions?
I mean,
there was only one question.
Exactly.
No, I don't think I've never woken up one day and said, you know what I'm going to do today? Eat a bagel.
To be fair, I don't ever have that mentality either, but sometimes if I want some toast, you know, there's no toast that, you know, but there's a bagel, and it's like, same thing, except one as a whole.
What if there's not?
What if there's not what?
What if there's not a bagel?
And there's no toast?
Yeah.
That I just don't eat.
You eat bread first before you have toast.
Well, exactly.
That's true.
You know?
What if you want toast in your microwave?
Wow.
There I go with my food hole. What if you want toast and your toaster doesn't work?
Well, you just like toast it on the, you almost kind of grill it.
You just
Like
grilled cheese without the cheese.
Exactly.
Let's get one of those lighters for the candles and just hold it over.
A lighter for a candle. That's just a lighter.
Well, it's just a lighter. Those giant lighters, you know what I mean?
Like, the ones you use for a grill?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
A grill lighter.
You just use a grill lighter and just like, all right, this won't take long. And then one part of it is like severely burnt and then the other is
just in one streak.
Yep.
Just one black streak.
Yep.
Right? Is that okay to say black streak?
Yeah, it's totally fine, yeah.
Good.
You didn't say brown streak.
You did, though.
I did.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, you're just getting into toilet humor.
Oh, poop.
Oh, fudge.
I'm 30 years old, and anytime somebody says the word duty list at work, it's just, you said duty.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Grossest thing you've ever had to clean up at Quick Trip?
Poop on the wall?
How you can poop on the wall?
No, but not just like a normal, like down here by the toilet. It was like up here.
Wait, like...
Like a good, like, 5 feet. Like, I was almost eye level with this poop.
So someone is, like, straight up using their feces for, like, wall painting.
Exactly. And it was weird because, like, it was third shift. It was, like, 2 a.m. and this family came in and the little kid I could tell was sick. So, you know, we went to the bathroom, came back out, and the mom came to me and she's like, oh, I'm so, you know, he made a mess in there. He's just really sick. I was like, that's cool. I'll take care of it. No problem. There was poop.
So
5 feet up, just
kid. This kid's not even. He's probably what, like 3.5
maybe,
like, feet.
Yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
Maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Okay, so at some point he had to basically aim his poop cannon.
Yeah, or he defied gravity. I mean, if there's no gravity and he was able to just like float up there, he could essentially poop slowly and just smear his
the kid that gravity
so you're saying, like,
it was Neville.
It was Neville.
That's like,
it was
like,
so Neville,
and a half
like,
feet tall.
Totally,
did he have giant ears when he walked in?
Was that him? And he had a cape?
Yeah.
Threw the cape off and just
levitated.
Yeah. I've never seen Neville defy gravity. He always comes down.
That's true.
Yeah.
So to defy it, he would have to stay up there at some point.
It's all construct.
It's just...
I mean, he's straight up, you know, using the whole Buzz Lightyear theory. It's falling with style.
He defies physics by being 4 feet tall and being more jacked than Batista ever was.
It's true.
I don't know. Batista was pretty jacked.
Yeah. Maybe not safely, but...
depends on who you ask.
He got his start when he was like 55 years old.
Nah, man. He was like 45. Tell me your difference. Yeah.
Well, see, and that's one of those weird age things, like... He lied about his age, and nobody cared.
Yeah.
Boogeyman lied about his age and got kicked off Tough Enough. Wait, what?
Is it a matter of, based on the program?
I don't know.
Is it easier to lie about your age on a job application than it is a reality show?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you could look at Batista and see that he was not young.
No.
But then you look at Boogeyman, Marty Wright, and you say, wow, he's a big, you know, jacked black dude. There's, you know, he's saying he's 35. He could be 35.
He was 68.
He was 68.
It was the face paint.
Well, he didn't have face paint on the show.
Oh, that's true.
He also had teeth.
He also had teeth.
Yeah.
And he wasn't eating worms.
Yeah, they cut that footage.
Not on camera. He wasn't.
That's where the whole thing came from, I'm sure.
He's in camera, and he's like, I got worms.
Yep, it was a Halloween episode. He was there as an extra.
No, I bet what it was the other Tough Enough guys was like, hey, I will give you $5 if you eat this worm off the ground. Like, okay, I would have done it for free. Like he was that really weird kid in like elementary school that you'd pay him to eat random crap, and he was the kid that would eat worms. Like that one book.
Are we talking about you?
I didn't
eating random crap with your food hole.
No, I didn't eat random crap with my food hole.
No, you knew what the crap was. It wasn't random.
No, but no, I'd never eat worms.
Come on.
No.
Come on. You saw Lion King. You're like, man, worms? That sounds good. How about some grubs? Where can I find some grubs? I'll just eat some worms.
I even read How to Eat Fried Worms, and I was like, that doesn't sound appealing.
That's not a real thing.
Well, you just put it in your mouth and eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you never read that book?
It's a book. I've never read it.
Yeah.
I don't read books.
You don't read books?
One of those things with words and pages.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, you would love books, though. They have fonts in them.
Oh, I do love fonts.
Full circle.
You're right. I mean, if you could find me a book that had interesting fonts, I would read it.
There's probably a style book out there that's got fonts in it.
Written in the name is just the name of the font.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole
I'm
book.
Pretty sure.
Just name the font, and then, like, to fill the rest of it, it's just the quick brown font, just all the letters just in that font.
Ooh.
And basically, yeah.
Ooh.
When I went to TC, before they started having a lot of
readjust here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to. Well, watch out. Don't be poking that thing over here, you know. One of the weird things, though, about TC was, like, in the graphic
TC design. Washington?
No, Technical College.
Oh, he's a cool guy.
He is a good guy.
He ain't big.
One of the things is they actually give you a style book. for, you know, whatever you need to do. Why is this guy calling me twice? I don't know.
Hey, it's the one guy who knows your phone number.
Right? Yeah, probably. Yeah. We'll figure. Yeah, it's crazy.
He's calling you about your business card.
Yeah. Hey, man, I get the wrong number, but somehow I still found your number. Ah, cool, cool, cool. So anyhow, yeah.
That's how people talk.
The books. Yeah, it totally is. Have you ever listened to Crapple Talk? Like, yeah, basically.
Full circle.
So, but no, it was a font book. It was probably 150 pages long, and it had, like, every font that was, like, on file at that point. And it had showed the variance between bold, semi-bold, condensed, all that stuff. He's in love. Look at him.
He's just so infatuated.
If I can put my other fist up and just like rest on both fists.
Bond,
like, yeah, I can't do it.
I'll see if I can find it. And I'll just gift it to you next time we're down.
That would be his greatest book ever.
That'd be like his Christmas gift, his birthday gift. Like it could be everything.
I'm gonna find the author and get it signed.
Yeah, why not? I bet it was. I don't even think it had an author though. It was probably like, you know, one of those like company books.
Okay. He'll just find any author and design it.
Just anyone.
To my number one fan.
you wrote a short story. Here you go. I'll go to a local poetry slam and see how many autographs I can get there.
You probably get a lot.
Yeah. Or you can wait until Jordan. Mm-hmm. When Jordan starts writing stories for school, it's like, hey, you just wrote a short story? Here, sign my book.
I love it.
That's
a great idea.
That's a full circle.
That's the best idea you've ever had.
Plus, you know that author then at that point.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And some would say you actually gave her her start.
Hey.
That's true.
Yeah.
I did. I actually got her start in pro wrestling, too. She was almost 2 months old.
Oh, wow.
That was her first day in the ring. I mean, she couldn't bump, but, you know, she was super good.
To be fair, there's a lot of people in the ring that don't know how to bump that are still.
There's a lot of people in the business.
That's true.
Who made a lot of money that didn't know how to bump.
Yep.
That is a fact. I'm still here.
Goldberg, actually on Botchamania, Goldberg, they used that clip of when his kid jumped the barricade and fell, and it's like, he's taking more bumps than I've had in my entire career.
Wow.
The kid's going to make less money than Goldberg, too.
True.
There was a line I tried to watch Raw, and I made it like 10 minutes in and I couldn't do it, because Kurt Angle made some reference to like, we could name a number one contender, but I want to make sure that they earn it. And I thought, man, like, what? Hold on, we just spent the last 6 months with nobody earning anything, and now you're gonna make everybody jump through hoops?
Yep.
But yeah, I couldn't. And then the typical like waterfall, like 10 guys come out and talk about each other, and I just can't watch. Yeah. I can't watch this. This is my 1 week with cable, and I can't even watch it.
So 10 guys were all in the ring bickering about each other, and there was no Teddy Long?
No. You know, if he was, they only had 5 guys. They would have needed a 6th guy. Who's the 6th man?
Undertaker.
We need you one random night for a 6th man that makes no sense.
You know, you're going to go 5-on-5 with the Undertaker.
So like, the 5 of them against him, and then, like, 4 druids?
Sure. That works.
How come the druids never got involved?
I don't know.
Like, did any of them get attacked at any point? That would have been a really cool thing during an entrance. Like, the druids all line up, and then his music hits, and then somebody else comes, like, Roman Reigns comes out dressed as the Undertaker.
I think the only time
he just Superman punches, like, 40 druids.
I think the only time in my knowledge that I've ever seen druids actually get involved in any way was the CM Punk Undertaker feud, when Heyman dressed up like Paul Bearer, and then Taker just kept throwing the druids around trying to find Punk.
Yep. Man.
Colin knows that.
That had to be scary, because I can't imagine they can see a lot. So they're told just like, stand still until the Undertaker tosses you.
Stand still and hold fire.
No, I bet.
Don't
burn yourself.
You gotta be able to see.
I saw Abyss lit on fire once.
Yeah.
Nobody put him out.
Just once?
Well, I saw it live.
Mm.
The TNA had a pay-per-view down in near Chicago somewhere.
Okay.
And they were fighting off the stage. He got, like, thrown off the stage through, like, a flaming table or whatever. And then you can see, like, they show him rolling around in the fire. And you can see, like, the camera cuts away and they're showing whatever it was, a tag match. And they show it back to the ring. But Abyss is still rolling around on fire.
So there was no one in the safety crew to be like,
oh, there were. There were 2 guys literally, like, crouched down next to the stage holding a fire extinguisher in plain view of everyone watching him roll around in fire. So no cameras on him.
Did he just...
Are you saying this is a metaphor for why TNA actually failed?
Because they tried to kill Abyss?
No! It's like, they would go to certain lengths to make sure they do something, right?
Yeah.
And they would cut away. And actually, instead of using the magic and getting rid of it, they're just like, oh, fuck it.
We're going to save this for a real fire.
Yeah, I wonder,
it'll be fine.
I wonder if that leads to the question is, what happened before that taping? Did Abyss piss off those people with the fire extinguishers, like the two football players that tackled that ref, because apparently the coach told them to or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
You're lighting me.
You lost me at football.
It was like, I think it was like almost a year and a half ago when there was that huge deal with the two football players, just like they did the play and then they just blitzed this ref because apparently he had said something about the coach's wife.
That's awesome.
And so they got, like, you know, they got kicked off the team and the coach got fired.
Oh, was that the high school thing, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
No, I think that ended up being, like, it wasn't about the coach's wife. It was actually the ref ended up saying something racial.
That's what it was.
And it was something the players actually took offense to it.
Yep.
Now, is the referee white with black stripes or black with white stripes?
You know, I think he was white with black stripes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
While wearing a white shirt with black stripes. And now he actually wears probably an orange jumpsuit.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's trippy, man.
What?
Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm freaking out, man.
What's up, dude?
Hey, dude. Oh, what a fantastic voice.
Yeah.
The voice of an angel, if, dude, like, the angel is on cocaine.
Marijuana.
You don't know sometimes.
True. True.
Things happen.
Things happen.
Things happen.
All right, cool. Well, I know we got to interview Josh Callisto and Red Lightning about Showtime Pro Wrestling coming up here, but Nathan Gus,
I've seen the post.
Yeah, it's
what
going
is
up. It's a huge show coming up on Saturday, actually, up in Chippewa Falls.
What?
It's a fundraiser for the Special Olympics up there.
I love fundraisers and the Special Olympics.
Yeah, these guys are getting a lot of really
Shout
good
out to Quick Trip.
Nice.
A lot of really good pub up there right now. They've been all over the place, just blitzing the media, so...
It's but not in the way of, like, blitzing like a referee.
Well,
no,
kind of like
they're not
NFL
just
blitz.
They're not tackling the
Full
media.
Circle. Not blitzing refs because they're saying racial slurs.
It sure. is closer to NFL blitz than Blitzkrieg.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Oh, I get it because he's German.
Now, do
I was
you,
referencing the WCW luchador.
Do you also, instead of a racial slur, do you also blitz if there's blackface?
Hmm.
Do I have to call Maru about this?
Call Chief about that.
Maru did whiteface that one time on accident.
That's true.
He did whiteface on accident.
He did. He was accused of doing whiteface.
I'm still waiting for the...
Powder was thrown in his face. So all the pictures just look like he's doing whiteface.
I'm still waiting for the Jordy Lee Maru Parent Trap movie.
Man, I saw that picture of them together and I thought, I have to make this.
Yeah.
I have to. And it was either that or Freaky Friday, but I figured that would be a lot
Parent
easier.
Trap.
Yeah.
Parent Trap was a better reference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Freaky Friday would be like they switched, but they were saying that they're twins. So.
Right. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And then after that, you know, they can do When in Rome.
I would love them to do a Bella Switch sometime at a show.
Yeah.
Twin Magic.
Twin Magic.
Twin Magic. I don't think anybody...
I love that the ref would fall for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The refs mm-hmm. are stupid, and I'm one of them, so I get it.
And they both got shaggy hair.
Mm-hmm.
They both wear glasses.
Right.
Both kind of short.
Yep.
Yep.
They both wear sandals in public.
Both have beards.
Alex.
Hey. But I don't look like Jordy or...
You wish you were.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the question about sandals in public.
Sure.
All right. Do you just wear sandals at home?
Yeah.
And is that not considered a slipper at that point?
That depends. Are you wearing them outside?
If you wear it outside, it's in public.
But if you
wear anything outside, it's in public.
What if it's in your backyard?
Still outside.
Well, no one's there. It's not public.
Are you sure? If people are there, it's public.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have mm-hmm. people over, that's public.
It's public.
Yeah. I would put my sandals away.
Hmm. So you won't wear your sandals when there's company?
No. Or when I'm mowing lawn.
Or you don't want to lose toes.
My father-in-law lost a toe mowing lawn.
That's how he did it?
He didn't realize that his toe was missing. Nope. Didn't realize until he got inside and there was blood everywhere.
You would think at some point in time.
Nope. Didn't notice.
Huh.
Walked inside, just blood everywhere. What's this?
Yeah, I'm missing a toe.
It's fantastic.
Like, it just, like, walked away?
Just walked away.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Times are tough, man.
Times are tough.
Times are tough when you lose your toe and you're just like, what's this?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever found it.
Hmm.
Probably
didn't need it.
Probably went on to a better place.
All toes go to heaven.
All toes go to heaven.
The Nick Brown story.
Yep.
Ooh.
It's terrible. It's terrible. So, Nathan Gust, where can we see you next, man?
At Quick Trip.
At Quick Trip. Yeah.
Okay, which Quick Trip? Because there's like 500.
All of them.
All of them?
How soon until we see your photo with like a fake name tag that doesn't actually say your name saying we're now hiring? You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
At the door where like...
We are always accepting applications.
Because they're, one of the guys that's on there, we actually... Nick and I would actually watch pay-per-views with them.
Yeah.
And then his name is on the name tag is Jake. He's like, that guy's name is Kyle. That's definitely not the right name.
You just broke kayfabe, man.
I know, you broke the fourth wall.
Did you know that it's harder to get a job at Quick Trip than it is to go to Stanford? Harvard. My bad. My bad. Harvard.
Mouthhole.
Really?
We have a 4% acceptance rate.
4%?
4% of our applicants get hired.
How many people do you actually hire?
Let's see.
Because we should do the math on this one. Like, how many employees are actually with Quick Trip right now?
We're around 20,000.
Okay.
We do about 4,000 a year.
Okay, so you hire... Okay, so... You guys get something like
100,000 a year applicants.
400,000 a year. Because you only hire 4%.
Yeah.
You hire about 4,000. You get almost half a fucking million applications per
no.
year. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
No.
No?
No.
No?
You lost me.
Huh?
Huh?
Okay. All right. So if you only 4% get
sure.
hired, right? So if 4%, if we just did straight 100, right? Yeah, you're right. It'd be 100,000.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's like I
care about math.
I had this all written down.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring the show notes?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
besides Coach Up, where are we going to see you next?
At some point, I'll be back to ACW,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. We'll see how this goes, if I even want to do it anymore after this.
Yeah.
But I'm around.
Gotcha.
I still wear a lot of hats in ACW, so...
Speaking of ACW, since we're talking about Showtime here in a few, talk about ACW June 2nd.
It's going to be awesome. So I was so excited to not be on it. I think
mm-hmm.
that's my favorite part of that show is that I'm not on it. And that I get to watch Sadist and Avalon murder each other for the 49th time.
Which is a great match. You need
it always is.
It. Yeah.
My most exciting thing for it is Devlin and Maru.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. I just know that they're going to be there. And that's just a really cool thing for them and for the fans of ACW. I think mixing in new people is always fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know who else said that? Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
Oh, wow.
You wish you were.
All right. Nathan goes, hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. Number 9 on the show.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
raise the number every time.
We'll get an even dozen by the end of the year.
Beating Jordy Lee, that's all we know.
Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time he was on?
When he hosted.
Last month?
It's too soon.
Too soon.
It's too soon.
He'll be on before you again. So. All right.
Damn it.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 316 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And... Uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt.
Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from One Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
I got to thank both Josh Callisto for being on the show this week and Nathan Gus for stopping in the studio. It's always good to catch up with guys you've known in the business for years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best part about it is, especially with a case like Nathan Gus, where, you know, he just comes in, he, you know, wants to spend the time to just shoot the shit with us. And again, there was no structure. And I think that actually made it the best thing, because if you have like a structure of how you want the interview to go, it's just going to seem really stiff. But literally, we just talked about Brock Hall. We talked about Quick Trip. We talked about fonts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no way would that make sense. Like, we were talking about psychology. There was no psychology in that interview, but it was a lot of fun.
But there was one thing.
Dot, Gus talk.
One of the things that we did in that interview that usually you don't necessarily get a chance to do, we actually called it inside the ring this time around instead of trying to plan it out backstage.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So one of the things we've been doing on the podcast as of late, Alex, since you've been off the show, is this day in wrestling history.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that's kind of nice to look back and see the history of professional wrestling as it happened on the day that we actually record the podcast. And today we're recording on, I believe it's May 17th, right?
May 17th, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Today is May 17th. So a lot of wrestling history happened on May 17th. So if we go back in time, 54 years ago today, at Madison Square Garden, Bruno Sammartino defeated Buddy Rogers in just 48 seconds to win the WWF Heavyweight Championship. Of course, this would actually set up the unprecedented reign that Sammartino would have, where he actually held the belt for 2,803 days. Of course, he would lose the belt in 1971 to Ivan Koloff. It's almost insane to even think that there was a dominant guy in the business who held the belt for almost a decade and drew as much money as Bruno Sammartino did. Also, it's kind of timely. 31 years ago today, Playboy Buddy Rose and Pretty Boy Doug Summers defeated Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig via countout to win the AWA World Tag Team Championships. Now, it's always kind of weird when you see titles changing hands via countout, but this one's actually kind of interesting, too, because the wrestling world had just lost another great this past, well, within the last 2 days, as Pretty Boy Doug Summers passed away. Right. One of the all-time greats. If you never got to see a Doug Summers-Buddy Rose match, man, look these guys up. They were always great at what they did.
And also 31 years ago today in Baltimore, Maryland, Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, defeated Baron Von Raschke and the Koloss, Ivan and Nikita to win the NWA Six-Man Tag Team Championships.
Now, at that point in time, the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions, man, they had titles up the gazoo. Six-Man Tags, they had the Brass Knuckles belts, man. Yeah, talk about WWE having too many belts these days. Man, Just go back in time and see how many belts some of these companies have.
It's thinned out from what it was, but people still think it's too much. But I think it's the right amount of number, actually, to keep everything blended up, keep all things right. Interesting.
Another great event actually happened 25 years ago today. You can find it on the WWE Network, and it was WCW's Wrestle War 92. This is a very fun show. If you ever get a chance to catch it, it's got one of the greatest War Games matches of all time, as Steam Squadron, which was Steam, Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, and Nikita Koloff, took on the Dangerous Alliance of Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, and Larry Zbysko. This is a five-star classic, according to Dave Meltzer. If you've never really seen this match, or even that show, it's definitely worth checking out.
And then 24 years ago today, on Monday Night Raw, New York City, Marty Jannetty returned to the WWF as a surprise challenger for Shawn Michaels' Intercontinental Championship. And, of course, this was actually a moment that Danny Bryan said was one of his most memorable for Monday Night Raw when they were reflecting on the 1,000 years of Raw as well.
You mean 1,000 episodes, not 1,000 years.
What did I say?
You said 1,000 years.
Sometimes it feels like years.
Oh, man, that's just one night.
It's one night.
Yeah.
But then the 1,000 episodes of Raw, Daniel Bryan recalled that as one of his most memorable moments when Jannetty came back. He hadn't been seen in the company since the Royal Rumble in January when he was fired after the Rumble due to a poor performance against Michaels, allegedly because he was under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, mm-hmm. which, fast forward, that's actually a real thing. Thanks to Mr. Perfect, who behind the scenes was helping Jannetty return to the company, he defeated his former tag team partner and won the Intercontinental title. And then on the undercard, the Kid defeated Razor Ramon in what is considered one of the biggest upsets in history. And post-match, Randy Savage led the crowd in a chant of 1-2-3 towards Ramon. Naturally, he would soon be known as the 1-2-3 Kid, and it would stick until he left the company in 1996.
So it's very interesting. Just kind of going through here, you're seeing a lot of stuff pop up over the last few years. And of course, 8 years ago, we're just going to kind of skip ahead a couple years, Judgment Day, WWE, and this is another classic one, where the main event was Edge defeating Jeff Hardy to retain the World Heavyweight Championship at that point in time. A lot of really good matches on this show, of course. Rey Mysterio defeating Chris Jericho, John Morrison, Shelton Benjamin, Umaga took on CM Punk. It's another really good show. Always something good and interesting happening here in this day in wrestling history, and of course. 7 years ago, Bret Hart defeated The Miz via submission in no DQ match to win the WWE United States Championship. His first belt that Hart basically held since 99. It was absolutely insane.
It was definitely a full circle for him. But 6 years ago today at Impact Wrestling, Eric Young defeated Gunner to win the TNA Television Championship. And 5 years ago today, TNA announced via a press release that Brooke Hogan, Hulk Hogan's daughter, signed a deal with TNA. Which is interesting because actually, I can't remember, I think it was this weekend, somehow Brooke Hogan got brought up, and we were just wondering whatever happened to her, because she kind of fell off the face of the earth ever since the whole divorce with the Hogans.
Well, you know, if you believe the earth is flat, she got pushed off by a cat. All right, cool. 5 years ago. Now, this is pretty relevant. NXT held its first TV tapings at Full Sail. 5 years. Man.
5 years
five
ago.
5 years of NXT tapings. Now you can catch all those back on the network. If you're looking through it, you're seeing a lot of guys on here who made the main roster, a lot of guys that never made it past. It's insane to look at some of these guys on the TV tapings. If you get a chance, go back and watch some of these old NXTs and just kind of see how everything's really kind of popping up.
And 4 years ago today, WWE cleaned the house in their developmental program to coincide with the opening of their performance center in Orlando, giving their walking papers were Derek Bateman, the winner of NXT Redemption, Ryan Namath, the younger brother of then heavyweight champion Dolph Ziggler, Percy Watson, a member of the NXT Season 2 cast, Brandon Traven, a Harley Race protege in Missouri, Anna Bogomazova. If I pronounce that wrong, I apologize, Anna. And a Russian kickboxer, Audrey Marie, and Sakamoto, who was paired with Tensai in 2012.
Wow, of course, some people actually have birthdays on this day as well. Hey, happy birthday to Earl and Dave Hebner, two of the greatest referees of all time. AC Riley, man, we even had a chance to ask you, are you on the road this weekend?
I am on the road. You're going to be with me as well. It's Friday, May 19th, BCW. We'll be there for Redemption at the Knights of Columbus in West Allis. The next day, Nick and I will be going down to Fort Dodge, Iowa for Fort Frenzy's show that they have there. It's always a good time there because, you know, it's kind of like lacrosse where there's not a ton to do in that city. You would think a little different because when you get there, it's actually a pretty big city. And then the place we're going to is essentially a Dave and Buster's kind of thing where you have like the arcade and you
can. So kind of like a shenanigans.
It's kind of like a shenanigans,
yeah, it's
too.
A place with the weird stuff on the wall.
Exactly, with the weird shit on the wall that you'll get pistol whipped if you say that more than once. According to the Super Troopers.
Yeah,
nice
true.
Reference. But anyways, it's always a big show. They always, flock, and pack it in. The last time we were there, it was a terrible snowstorm actually driving down there, so you'd think that nobody was going to be out there in December, and there was more people there than there had actually been previous times in Fort Dodge.
So. Was that the same show Devlin Kane had the issue with the tire?
Yep, that was the same show where we were half an hour away from the venue, and then the tire popped, and then we had to pay, like, $270 to get it, like, just replaced. Like, all they had to do was jack up the car, take out the bad tire with the donut that we had, and then put it back on, and it was, like, over $200.
Is he coming with you guys this time?
He is not. He's actually going to be at Showtime Championship
that
Wrestling.
That is right. Showtime Championship Wrestling. Nice plug there. Happening also on Saturday the 20th. If you're up in the Eau Claire, Triple Falls area, even the cities, man, you're going to get a chance to catch a really, really good show for a really good cause. All the money goes back to the Special Olympics. They do so much good work, the Special Olympics. It's one of those things where, man, talk about life-changing stuff they do.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of shows going on this weekend, Jesse. I mean, shout-out to our friends at Fully Loaded Wrestling. They'll have a show, a double shot as well, coming up this weekend. Too many shows to list.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we have our Facebook, Jesse.
That is true. You can always find us on the Facebook. Just type in Grapple Talk. Usually, you know, we're probably the first one to pop up these days.
That's usually the reality of the situation.
Give it a big old like, and then you can find it on your news feed. Anytime we pop up a story or anything like that, just pops up right on there. We're also on the Twitters as well.
Absolutely. It's at the Grapple Talk. It's the same as our Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you can follow us for live results for any of the shows that we are attending. So, for example, we have live results for BCW and for RWA, or at least we'll be retweeting the ones from RWA because they like to do them themselves, and that's okay.
Seem a little bitter about that.
No, absolutely not. It's just it kind of messes up the flow. You know what I mean? Like, where it's like when we tweet the ones for BCW and we tweet the ones for all the show, and then, like, we tweet RWA, and it's like, that's our job.
Well, it's just we just retweet it. It's not that bad.
Exactly.
There's
nothing wrong with it. It's just, like, you do something for a while, and then it's like, hey, don't do that. And you're like, I don't know how to do that.
Hit retweet.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Exactly.
Save on your characters.
Exactly. So yeah, we'll have results from there as well. So Indie Power Rankings has all the results for all the shows that they're sent as well. And then, of course, just make sure to download the episodes on iTunes and Podbean and, you know, listen to some stuff to kill the road trip stories. Not kill the road trip stories. Kill time on the road.
Yeah, you don't want to kill the stories.
And listen to our stories.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're terrible.
My mouth hole is absolutely terrible. So
yeah,
I think
you probably need some food.
I think that, and it's Wing Wednesday today, so.
Yeah, that it is.
Hot wings? Nice.
Yeah, always good.
Yeah. What's the hottest wing you eat?
Man,
I don't think I've actually ever asked this question in the 9 years I've known you.
That's a good question. You know, I'm just fine with just regular buffalo, man. Like, I don't go anything crazy. What about you? Are you a ghost pepper,
you know,
type of guy?
I used to be, and then I realized that I enjoy not, like,
dying,
having fire in my ass.
Wait. So you enjoy fire in your ass, but not fire in your ass.
No, I like hot food, but I don't like, you know, too hot. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I back in the day, so Buffalo Wild Wings, they did the Blazing Hot Challenge.
Yeah.
And I would go there. I wanted to try it. So as an experiment, I did the boneless because that doesn't count if you do it boneless. It has to be bone in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried that, and I just remember the drive home was the most uncomfortable thing in my life because it just, like, everything hurt because it was just too much fire. I like buffalo. I like, you know, I like a little kick, but I also like to be able to taste the chicken as well. So
Gotcha. So what's the hottest then?
Probably buffalo hot.
Buffalo hot?
Buffalo hot.
There's a buffalo mild?
There's a buffalo mild, and there's also a buffalo medium.
A buffalo medium?
Yeah. So basically,
sauces they come up with.
And as far as, like, peppers, like, I can always go with a good habanero. Habanero is a good one because you can taste it, but you can still taste the food, but you'll also get a good sweat going on.
Oh, man, like, I had some jalapenos in a breakfast burrito from Taco John's the other day.
That's
like,
actually the chorizo burrito?
Yeah.
That's actually a good burrito.
Man, I couldn't handle it with the jalapenos.
My only nitpick is that I wish that either the jalapenos were diced up or they cooked the jalapeno. Because, like, I feel like when I eat that burrito, then I always pull out a lone jalapeno. And I don't have a problem with jalapenos. It just takes out the whole process, I guess. It's like when you eat an onion ring and then you pull out the entire onion. It's just like, well, that's not funny.
Sometimes that's just how it happens with the onion ring.
But that's the thing. It's even like if you were eating a burger and all of a sudden you just pulled out the entire tomato slice. And it's like, well, that's gross.
A lot of people do that. They don't like a tomato slice.
But then you're not thinking about the entire meal, you're just thinking about that one piece that you put.
Or it's like you're getting a cheeseburger and you're about to bite it, but you're squeezing it too hard and it all slips out of the back end.
That's true. That is also a pain in the ass.
Right.
Try to line it up, and then you just realize that you just screwed yourself, because now you're going to either have more meat than bun or more bun than meat.
It's a fine ratio. You have to Very fine ratio. So, yeah, thanks, everyone, for joining us this week. We'll be back next week. I don't know if Nick will be back next week. He might be busy with his shoot job.
I kind of hope so. Because
what is too painful for you?
No, it's not too painful. It's just like
totally painful.
I want to go back to being the fanboy Grapple Talk. I want to be back to just. I just want to go back to editing the shows and listening to it and be like, what are they going to talk about next? You know, it's kind of weird to be on the other side of the glass again.
All right, cool. We're just going to talk about fantasy sports next week,
and then I'll probably just fall asleep.
All right, cool.
It'll be my the Grapple Talk I listen to before I go to bed.
Fair enough.
There you go. You guys will put me to sleep in a good way, not a bad way.
Awesome sauce. Well, we'll catch you guys next week right here on Grapple Talk.
Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
GrappleTalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think I just had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one. something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores
gosh.
For good reason. Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.